at townhall.com.
Good morning. There are no major problems on the major highways. I-10, Butler Boulevard, 295 and 95 are all problem-free at the present time. We're expecting lots of rain with thunderstorms today, a high of 88. And this evening, early clouds and clearing by late, a 1 in 5 chance of rain tonight, and a low of 74. Right now it is 73 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. After a decade-long pay freezes, congressional Democrats are looking to give Congress a pay increase. The White House says they have accomplished a big victory dealing with Mexico and illegal border crossings. And Governor DeSantis signs legislation that makes it tougher to change the Florida Constitution through petition drives.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
3 minutes after 6 a.m., good Monday morning. We'll get everything ready to go as the weather kicks in. What's the chance? Okay, 1 in 5, can you just explain 30%, 40%?
An 80% chance of thunderstorms today.
Man, yeah, 80%.
It's going to rain, yeah.
We need it, so anyway.
Yes, we do.
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. It's good to have everybody with us right here on Talk Radio WBOB. Let's get on with some of the big national news out there. Some are calling it a huge victory. It's huge for President Trump by saying, hey, listen, Mexico, unless you do something about the border, we're going to impose tariffs on you, brought them to the table. Is this a win-win? Some would say yes. Fox News is reporting that now Mexico has even blocked a caravan of those of illegal aliens coming into after trying to come into this country after a threat by that of President Trump.
It could help.
Hold on, Roger. Clip number two. I'll get to clip number two in a second. Hold on. Did you see that news report over the weekend?
Absolutely, I did. And it was so interesting to see how Mexico all of a sudden is very, very concerned about what's going on in America with respect to illegal immigrants coming through their country from Central America.
Yeah, here's that clip right here.
In a gesture that could help trade talks with Washington, Mexico blocked a new caravan of Central American migrants that illegally crossed into Guatemala heading for the United States. There was about 1,000 in it.
About 1,000 in it, and they were able to block it out there. How bad is the situation? We haven't heard a lot from the media about this. But according to Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan, he says, you remember the border crossings that a lot of people, you know, even the media, you know, Roger, we covered this back in 2014, 2016. He says, guess what? You combine both of those years, don't even come close to what we're seeing now.
So we had two prior surges of families and children at the border, 2014 and 2016. At that time, President Obama called it a humanitarian crisis. In the last 2 months alone, we have more than doubled those two full years of crisis. So to give you a sense of how many people are crossing the border, 144,000 last month. Mm. When I was in Guatemala last week, a man came up to me and said, hey, we know that bringing a child is a passport for migration to the United States. The smugglers are advertising it. This flow is not going to stop without coordinated efforts with Mexico, but also we still need Congress to act. We still need help both on the fundamental legal loopholes in the framework, but also on funding.
The smugglers are advertising it. I wonder who else is advertising it. Come on over.
Yeah.
We need your help. I wonder if any businesses are doing that as well. Border crossings, of course, are way up under President Trump, and even some from the left are saying, wait a second, I thought the president said he was going to stop, build a wall, make Mexico pay for it. Here's Nita Tandon. She's with a far-left group called Citizens for American Progress.
I think the issue here for the president is now he's an incumbent. And when he faces re-election, he's going to have a set of facts. The set of facts are that there are more border crossings now than there were 2-3 years ago, and that his policies so far have not succeeded.
His policies so far have not succeeded. So this got into an interesting debate between Nira Tandon, Center for American Progress, and the Wall Street Journal, Jason Riley. He says, listen, he goes, when illegal aliens know that they can take advantage of the asylum laws, of course they're going to come over many times, realizing they don't have to show up at court.
Every Democrat has recognized that what's happening at the border is a crisis. Lots of Democrats have talked. You just said it a minute ago. Democrats have been saying it's a humanitarian crisis. It's a moral crisis.
Political expediency. Democrats are now ignoring the humanitarian
They're
crisis.
They're not. Lots of Democrats have talked about it. They just have a different strategy. If you listen to
the asylum system is being gamed, and Democrats know it. They know that people are showing up on the border with kids because they know they will get into the country and be released. And most of those people released will not show up with their hearing.
That's actually
Democrats
false.
Know that.
But Democrats say, wait a second. You know, even though they've all gotten up under President Trump, makes you wonder if that could be blamed at the president, whether that'll hurt him or not. Democrats say, hey, wait a second. Despite what you may hear, we are ready to compromise when it comes to the issue of Border Patrol and doing something with illegal border crossings. Liberal radio talk show host Richard Fowler.
What we can do, what Democrats are willing to do today is we're willing to work with Republicans to get more immigration judges. We're willing to work with Republicans on hardening points of entry. We're willing to work with Republicans on finding a way to speed up and modernize our visa system, right? And remember the fact that 90% of the folks coming to our country illegally are because of visa overstays not pouring across our southern border. And these are all things we're willing to work with Republicans on. The question is, are Republicans willing to come to the table and work with us on these?
Wait a second. Is it easy saying Democrats? That sounds like something would come from the Republican side.
Before you hear whether or not, you know, what side he's asking to help, it's really interesting because historically the Democrat position is basically do nothing.
Right.
And the suspicion was hope that they would end up voting Democrat because of it.
According to Border Patrol protection official Brian Hastings, he says we have increase after increase. He says exclude immigration reform. There is a top issue on how we deal with current illegal immigration problems.
So far, we just keep seeing increase after increase. Unfortunately, we're breaking everything that we track as far as breaking records and everything that we track. The amount of apprehensions, the amount of large groups, the amount of in custody, it just continues to rise so far with no sign of slowing.
You have two things that could make your life and everybody else's lives easier and make it safer for the country. What are those two things?
So we still need a fix to Flores, and we need to be able to apply a consequence, and we need a fix to TVPRA. We have to be able to apply some type of consequence because the folks that we're interviewing day in and day out, the agents are hearing every day, bring a kid and you'll be released.
Yeah. Right?
And that's what you mean by the TVPRA. If you get in, you get to stay. If you're with a parent, they both get to stay.
Did you hear what he said? He goes, we don't have any consequence for people trying to come over here illegally.
Yeah, no consequences at all. And, you know, if the mom is in fact expecting at the time she comes over, then it's an anchor baby. They can never leave because that child is a U.S. citizen.
When it comes to the issue, as you know, abortion's a top big issue. We'll get into that in a moment about the latest poll numbers on about whether or not the Supreme Court should visit Roe versus Wade. Joe Biden's out there. His numbers may be cut a little bit, but remember, this is kind of interesting because Biden has now done a major 180 on the Hyde Amendment, which does not allow federal tax dollars to go to fund abortions out there. And he changed his views. And David Axelrod, who worked to help get Obama Biden elected in 2008, says this is a flip-flop on top of a flip-flop, and many are wondering whether this guy can go the distance.
You see that on this issue of the Hyde Amendment. But the other is the way this thing came down. Joe Biden was out on the campaign, and he's not been out that much. And a voter challenged him on the question of Hyde. A video was rolling, and he said he would reverse that policy. Mm. Then the next day, the campaign, or when it came to light, the campaign put out a statement and said, no, he still believes in the Hyde Amendment. Then there was a furor, and last night he flipped again. So that was a flip-flop flip, which is never a good thing in politics. And it raises questions about his own performance. But this underscores questions that people have had about whether he can go the distance.
This is what I'm kind of curious about. His numbers, as they say, when he came out and announced was this last month, his numbers were flawless. It was just kind of a laid back, didn't make a big deal about it. His numbers have been through the roof. Now they're starting to slide down a little bit. Are they starting to slide down in some of the states because he's considered too moderate? But then again, if his numbers were that well, wasn't it because they figured he was too moderate?
Well, first of all, you know, you've got it. You know, he announced that he was going to run. That instantly is going to give him a boost in the polls, you know, obviously. And that's naturally going to go down eventually. I think he probably overreacted because he was, you know, planning on getting beat up because of his position on the Hyde Amendment during the primaries. Remember, in the primaries, you have to be more extreme. But that would have helped him if he maintained his position in the general election when he runs. If he is the nominee against President Trump, because more people probably support the Hyde Amendment that are in the general population than just Democrats.
More the more centers, as they say, in the Democrats. According to a latest Hill-Harris X poll, 56% just recently surveyed, because as you know, later this month, the Supreme Court is going to be making some final decisions on laws that have come before the high court. 56% say the Supreme Court should not revisit the Roe versus Wade decision that, of course, legalized abortion. 44% disagree. The majorities, of course, come across all margins and all ages here with that news story, TheHill.com.
Overall, a majority of Americans, 56%, think the Supreme Court should not take a new case on abortion and that Roe v. Wade is settled law. 44% believe otherwise. However, we noticed some interesting divisions in our survey. Though majorities of all age groups think Roe v. Wade is settled law, younger folks were more likely to say it should be revisited. About half of 18 to 34-year-olds, 49%, believe Roe versus Wade is ready for another look by the high court. And it decreases as voters get older. 44% of 35 to 49-year-olds and those 50 to 64 agree. And just 36% of Americans 65 and older say the decision should be revisited.
What's up with you senior citizens out there? They think Roe versus Wade should be revisited. As much as we decry against millennials and some of their, I guess, wussification of America. Oh, let me stay at the home and mom and dad or whatever. The respondents between the ages of 18 to 34, 51% say that the court should consider it settled law, and 49, almost split, say it should not be considered settled law, encouraging or not.
For those who want to have Roe versus Wade, you know, looked at again and overturned, that's very encouraging news to find out that the younger generation wants the courts to look at it.
More coming up next. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. 13 minutes after 6 a.m. Talk Radio WBOB.
If you're on I-10 going east at 95, there's a broken down car we're looking at right now on the side of the highway. 295, 95, and Butler Boulevard are all currently problem free.
Hi, this is Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. Our dear friend, Teresa Ross, is leading a group of friends from the radio station on a tour of the Holy Land this fall, and you are invited to join her on this trip of a lifetime.
Imagine seeing the places we read about in the Bible, visiting the Garden of Gethsemane, getting baptized in the Jordan River, the same river where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and visiting the city of Jerusalem.
Thanks, guys. I'd love for you to come with me to the Holy Land in late October. Our tour will be professionally guided by Christian Expedition. It goes from October 28th through November 6th, a 10-day trip there in Israel. And they're going to show us all the important sites, explain their significance, answer our questions, as we experience the land of the Bible. If you want to find out more about that, all you have to do is call this number right now, 904-831-TRIP, 904-831-TRIP. I really hope you can go.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. One of the biggest changes we've seen in fine jewelry over the last 25 years has been the growth of jewelry designers. At Underwoods, we're the leader, bringing to North Florida the best names in designer jewelry. In fact, we carry designer lines in a similar way to how clothing stores carry designer labels. The difference is that jewelry designers have to be a little more timeless in their presentations because nobody wants to buy a fine piece of jewelry only to find out the next year it's gone out of style. That's why you'll find at Underwoods the best of the jewelry designer names, those that are tried and true and popular. Names like David Yerman, Roberto Coyne, John Hardy, Marco Bichigo, Jude Francis, Lagos, Ippolita, and a lot more are all available right now at Underwoods. So if you want the best looks in designer jewelry, stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the shops upon Avedra.
Will President Trump be able to stop Robert Mueller from testifying? Did Bill Barr really lie to Congress? And who really started Russiagate? Andy McCarthy will join me in studio to give you all of those answers on the next America First with me, Dr. G. We'll also speak to Boris Epstein about the clown car of 2020 Democrat candidates, and also my Salem Radio colleague, Eric Metaxas, about his new national TV show.
America First with Sebastian Gorka, Saturday nights 6 till 9 p.m. on WBOB.
Lots of rain and heavy thunderstorms today. We'll have a high of 88 degrees. This evening, we're expecting early clouds and clearing by late. A 1 in 5 chance of rain tonight. 74 will be the low, and right now it's 73 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9, Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new app is being introduced as a way to help reduce violence in schools. A new poll finds 56% of registered voters see Roe v. Wade as settled law and do not want the courts to review the issue. And an economic report shows lawsuits are coming at the expense of Floridians.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Coming up in just a little bit, Bill Hurley, who is the state director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Big story coming out this week. How many of y'all, I mean, this has been an issue that has been heavily talked about in the 1990s and 2000s, the issue of tort reform. Nobody seems to be talking about this anymore here in the state of Florida. But a new economic report that will be released this week says that, guess what? Tort reform and the lawsuit abuse is coming at the expense of Floridians out there. They say that excessive tort costs have led to over 125,000 jobs that could be lost in this year for Floridians. $7.6 billion direct cost that comes out of taxpayers' back pocket. Wow. But no one seems to be talking about this anymore.
It's costing
on that issue.
Us a lot of money, all of us, yeah.
Yeah, it's costing a lot of money when it comes to that. Congressional Democrats, are you ready for this? No, I'm not blaming them. I mean, the House Republicans are probably going to go along with this, too. But congressional Democrats want to propose a $4,500 pay increase for Congress. As you know, it's been about a decade since they've had a pay increase. It's about eight times the minimum wage, $174,000 a year. It's been frozen, but Democrats say we need a automatic cost of living increase. According to one Democrat spokesperson, there's a strong bipartisan support for the modest inflation adjustment.
Now, let me ask you a question.
That's so great.
You sound like someone who believes that members of Congress are overpaid. Am I correct?
Oh, heck yeah.
I don't believe so.
150 days out of the year they got to work?
They have to have two homes that they have to maintain, one in the home district and then one in one of the most expensive cities in America. And, yeah, their travel is covered by the taxpayers, but, you know, just maintaining the homes. We even heard Governor DeSantis, when he first joined Congress, was sleeping in his office.
So?
I don't think members of Congress should be forced to sleep in their office. I think they need to afford to live there. It's an expensive city.
Not sleep.
Or maybe come up with a way where their housing expenses for D.C. are covered. Give them
you know, Roger, they can still live off the investments. They can still hold another job.
They can. That's true. But many of them are not necessarily the richest people in the world. And being a millionaire should write this down. Being a millionaire should not be a prerequisite to join Congress.
The richest people in the well, I agree with you on that one. I'm just writing these down. I'm sure a lot of the audience are going to love this.
So when I think of congressional salaries, I automatically divide it by two. Because that is really what the net effect is when you have to have two households that you're maintaining.
Under current law, lawmakers would receive about a 2.5% pay adjustment. But I wonder if this Democrats say there's strong bipartisan support for that. I love you. Just love that technique.
Yeah.
You know, strong bipartisan support.
That's because Republicans also realize that, hey, we're going broke up here.
Oh, man. Current gun laws.
Mm-hmm.
Would they stop any of these crimes out there? But remember, this is a question that is asked. Again, I want to set this right up.
So currently, the federal law says that any interstate between two states transfer of guns has to go through a gun dealer. And any sale through a gun dealer does the background checks. Well, we have almost half the states in our country. It's 20 states have extra restrictions that already require universal background checks in that state. And some of those states have already had the mass shootings, like Connecticut, for example, has universal background checks in the state of Connecticut, did nothing to stop Newtown. I went through and looked at the 12 biggest mass shootings that we've had since the federal background check system went into place, and not a single one of the 12 would have been prevented.
Now, you heard what he said. Not a single one of those would have prevented the Pulse nightclub shooting in Florida back in 2000, June of 2, actually 3 years ago this month. In Orlando, also the Parkland, Florida shooting that took place February of 2018. That's firearms attorney Ryan Kleckner. The reason why I set that clip up is because this is a good one, folks. If you like to know how these things are repackaged, according to the New York Times columnist Charles Blow, he says, no, because you saw what happened about a week and a half ago, of course, in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where disgruntled happy employee, however you wanted the details. Sometimes they're a little mixed there and whether or not he was ticked off. But Dwayne Braddock came in and shot 12 individuals he worked with or inside the municipal government building inside Virginia Beach, Virginia, so almost 2 weeks ago. And the question is, okay, what was wrong with the guy? Was in many of these cases, like What was the Nicholas Cruz down in Parkland, Omar Mateen? What is wrong with these individuals? According to Charles Blow, listen to this clip. He says, no, no, no. That's not the right question to ask. What was wrong with these individuals? He says that's not the right question to ask.
What is the right question?
Well, this is what he says.
Can I just say this?
It would not, because it was...
Journalists have to stop asking that horrible question. What? That is a horrible question. Because what we're doing is picking out one incident out of 30,000 deaths per year and saying, how could you solve this one thing? That is not the objective of gun control. The objective of gun control is to reduce capacity to kill people who should not be killed.
Yes.
And once you reframe it that way, maybe the proposal I have today will not solve that problem, but it cuts into this massive number of people that we're losing to gun violence. That is the question.
So he says that's not the... Okay, I keep my feet coming around. He says that's not the right question to ask. He says we just need to overall do something about it, and that may instantaneously take care of problems.
Obviously, you know, there is a mental illness issue out there with people who are not very stable or the ones who, in many cases, getting their hands on these guns, and maybe we come up with a better way of making sure those people aren't armed.
Look, you're seriously saying you shouldn't be able to answer the question as a politician, how will your plan specifically stop this problem?
But the framing of the question is wrong. I'm saying that what the politicians should say, if somebody asked them that wrong question, is to say, let me say, I don't know what might have would prevented this person, and I don't know all the issues involved in that. But what I know is that what the science tells us about access and capacity to kill.
Yes.
If we do certain things, we will reduce the number
somewhat
of people.
Can I ask a question? What science is he talking about?
I know.
If we just reduce the capacity of how many ammunition rounds we can hold in a magazine, that might slow it down. But Real Time host Bill Maher was on with this panel discussion. He says, listen, if Democrats want to go down this road, they're not going to win, and they haven't won before.
I don't like guns. Have some. Don't like them, have it for an emergency. Like some people do, lots of people do. Right. And their view is, yes, there is a violence problem with guns, but not me. And you're going after me. And I'm just saying, some of the solutions, all of the solutions, I don't know if it would solve the gun problem. And to die on this hill and lose an election, because we've lost elections before on this issue, which is not a winning issue for Democrats. But just, first of all, the liberals should learn more about guns. Right. I don't know much about guns, because again,
can you imagine if you wanted to go into a court of law? Your Honor, it doesn't matter what was wrong with the guy. The bottom line is he went in, used his legally purchased handguns. Instead of going after him, we need to go after the gun culture, which means go after gun manufacturers, and even throw the NRA, maybe throw it in a couple salespeople at Walmart as well.
And go after the U.S. Constitution.
Well, yeah. Or maybe you can sit back and say, well, maybe we should sue the state of Florida because they didn't go far enough in their gun control. But I mean, is that a viable question? Because if that's the case, then I guess you could sit back and give a blanket excuse what takes place in Chicago.
Yeah.
And a lot of other areas where it's Orlando or Jacksonville, where you have a lot of gun crimes. No, forget about whether or not the question should be asked, how did you get a hold of that gun? Maybe we shouldn't ask you if there's mental illness. It's the gun culture, Rogers, what they're saying.
Well, here's the deal. Whenever they're going after this with new gun laws, you're assuming criminals are going to obey the law. Listen up. Criminals do not obey the law. You're going after law-abiding citizens, and it's probably not going to help very much.
Yeah, it's not going to help anywhere when it comes to that issue. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Governor Ron DeSantis, when you look at the media in Florida, they says he's creating too many hurdles to change the Florida Constitution. The governor signed a bill that would create more, even for citizens, to change the Constitution through petition drives. The bill that was signed into law last Friday without comment requires paid petition gatherers to register with the Secretary of State, outlaws paying gatherers based on the number of signatures they collect. The petitioners also must include the name and permanent address of the gatherer. In other words, all of you that have come out here campaigning and you don't live in the state of Florida, you kind of want to make it a little bit more illegal. I don't know if this is a good bill or a bad bill, because what if you want to have those that, for example, Roger, you have some, Roger, you got a family member running in Georgia and you want to go out and help them get petitions on the ballot. Does that mean because you don't live in the state of Georgia or you live in Georgia, you want to come here to help your family in Florida?
Uh-huh.
Maybe we should limit that as well.
You know what? That is an interesting argument to make, because what if you do have someone? And there are people who have pretty much launched their political careers by going around the country and being involved with various campaigns, and they get a chance to get their feet wet and learn how elections are done nationwide. But if you limit that to just your state residents, maybe that's not a good thing.
No, I guess maybe if you wanted to sit back and say, well, hey, we're employing people now, that, or we're taking away jobs from Floridians here, that might be a valid question as well. Oh, boy, we have a lot more news coming up next. I'm your host, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio WBOB.
If you're on the roads this morning at I-10 headed toward 95, there's a broken down car. It's on the right side of the highway. 295 south on the Dinks Point Bridge. Another car there has conked out this morning.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, June 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. Saturday, June 15th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue. And Saturday, June 15th at 12 noon, it's the Great Atlantic Festival 2019 at the Seawalk Pavilion at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Lots of rain and thunderstorms expected this afternoon and a high of 88 this evening. Early clouds, then clearing, a 1 in 5 chance of rain tonight. 74 the low. Right now it's 73 here at WBOB.
All right, let's squeeze in a couple quick phone calls early this morning. Let's go to Brad. Brad, good morning. What's happening?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I just wanted to say, Mr. Dean, that our politicians have to stop BSing us. The gun problem is just, I don't know, there are 480,000 people a year dying in the U.S. from cigarette use, 480,000 per year, and they do nothing to ban cigarettes and tobacco products, but they surely want to take our guns. And it's nothing to do with our safety, it has nothing to do with our health, it has nothing to do with our deaths out here. It's all about controlling the masses. And with a free society that has firearms, very hard to control.
You know, Brad, so let me play the other side here. They say that they are trying to do something when it comes to that of cigarette smoking. We are trying to ban those from able to get it if they're under the age of, 18 and over, they can buy it right now.
Right, yeah.
They want to jack up that age to 21. So they are saying that they're trying to do something about that, the same acknowledgement that they're trying to do something about guns by trying to jack it up to 21. But the bottom line is that if some kids are getting cigarettes beneath a certain age, my question is, well, how did you get the cigarettes? We know that for the most part, the store owner didn't sell them to you. Did somebody else get them to you illegally? It's each case by case. If somebody commits a crime, let's find out why they did it. I mean, not everybody is shooting everybody, folks. Thanks for the call. 831-0600. Talk Radio, WBOB.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
More.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The House Judiciary Committee expected to approve a resolution today asking the courts to force Attorney General William Barr to respond to the committee's requests for information. One person dead, five others injured, two of them critically hurt when a construction crane toppled onto an apartment building in Dallas. Happened yesterday afternoon during a fierce wind storm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Former Boston Red Sox slugger David Ortiz hospitalized following surgery for a gunshot wound after being ambushed by a man in a bar in his native Dominican Republic. A suspect is in custody. Wall Street futures pointing to a higher open later this morning. Right now, Dow futures up about 100 points. S&P futures better by 10. NASDAQ futures up 25 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. If you're an I-10 going east, once you get to 95, you'll notice a broken down car. It's on the right emergency lane. The Dinks Point Bridge south, there's a broken down car on the right side of the bridge. And at 295 south at US 17, just got word of an accident into us this morning. There's an 80% chance of thunderstorms today and a high of 88. This evening, early clouds, then clearing. A 20% chance of rain tonight. 74 the low right now. It's 73 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The White House says they accomplished a big victory dealing with Mexico and illegal border crossings. Governor DeSantis signs legislation that makes it tougher to change the Florida Constitution through petition drives. And after a decade-long pay freezes, congressional Democrats are looking to give Congress a pay increase.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Roger, every weekend, as yours is, a lot of times we have to work. I mean, as a publisher and you as a, I mean, you do a lot for a lot of radio stations with inside the radio station family. Sometimes it, the weekends calls for us to do a little work, which I don't have a problem.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I get paid time and a half from $5. And I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
We have a great time. But so our weekends are very precious to us. And a lot of times, like this week, I went to Rainbow Springs.
Okay.
I'm done outlet. I born and raised in Florida, never been there. I had the time of my life. Kayak and crystal clear water had a great time. But this weekend, I'm in town.
Okay.
Because we've got a big event coming up this Saturday. Father's Day, you know, is this Sunday coming up. Tools for a Time off Old St. Augustine Road in Mandarin area.
Yes.
And Roger and myself are going to be out there right about probably around 10 o'clock, right?
Yeah, we'll be there.
And Roger,
right,
we're talking shorts and t-shirts, right?
Exactly, exactly. And it's a really fun time. It's the annual Moe's 500. It's a race.
M-O-W-S.
Exactly.
M-O-E-S, like the Three Stooges.
That's a good one. Yeah, and basically it's a race that will allow dads to run a course using, instead of a race car.
How many, by the way? This is going to last for a little while, right?
Yeah, right now there are about almost a couple hundred dads that are already signed up. You have to sign up to race, but if you come in first, you win the riding lawnmower.
And we're talking, this is one of these fancy ones that cost anywhere from $2,500 to $3,000.
Exactly. Really, really nice one, and there's a runner-up prize of a push lawnmower, so, and it's a lot of fun. Kids come out, bring the whole family, a bounce house for the kids. Sonny's Barbecue is going to be catering, free food. It's going to be a lot of fun this Saturday at Tools for
Time.
And
what a great way, ladies, if you want to get your husband or your boyfriend that gift with the kids whatsoever, for that father, that special individual in your life out there, this is something to do. You can just show up and hang out with us if you like. A lot of people do that. A lot of events we do, Roger. But this is a free event. If you want to win one of those big expensive lawnmowers and other prizes that are worth into the hundreds of dollars, just do this. Go to the website. You can't show up and do it. You've got to sign into the website. As Roger says, we've only been promoting this for a couple of weeks. A couple hundred have already done it. Just go to the website, wbob.com. WBOB.com. Sign in and register. And Roger and myself going to be out there around 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great time.
Exactly. Taking selfies with you and seeing who comes in first to get who gets to take that riding lawnmower home.
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Let's get to more of the news. You know, this, folks, I have never, this is not a new idea, but kind of it is, a way to reduce school violence, not gun violence, but overall school violence in our public schools here in the state of Florida. One of those that is doing it is North Carolina. Take your shirt off, waving it. Okay, anyway, it's school superintendent Mark Johnson. The state school superintendent says that the state will be using a new app that allows students to anonymously report school safety concerns inside their school. Listen to this as he says this is being proposed to help, and now other states may be looking at it like Florida, to help reduce violence in our public schools.
This app will be an easy-to-use app on a phone that we are specifically targeting to students, but anyone in the community can use it. Anyone can download for free. We want students to have their voices heard if they see bullying, if they see cyberbullying, if they see a concerning issue where one student may be thinking about hurting themselves or hurting others or showing signs of such. This will be an easy way for students to tell us a tip, and it will go to a command center that is 100% dedicated to take in those tips and prioritize them.
Now, of course, he says that the public school system in North Carolina worked with the General Assembly, that's state lawmakers out there, to get millions of dollars invested into the system. By the way, at this command center, I mean, you're going to call in, you're going to report certain things. He says they're going to kind of vary which one out is more important than the other. And he tells you who will be at the command center to accept these calls
and get them to the right officials, whether it's at the school, whether it's at law enforcement for that local area, or both.
How
staffed by trained professionals, school counselors, mental health professionals. As the tips come in, if it is something urgent, which people should call 911 if it's urgent,
right.
But if it comes in and it's urgent, there's a way to flag that and make sure law enforcement is notified immediately. As they come in, they are triaged with what kind of seriousness level they deserve.
You know, I'm not mixed on this. A app to talk about school violence, okay, I mean, I guess it makes it much easier. It's kind of like ordering your fast food. Instead of just, you know, trying to call it in or just put an app, boom, it's ready to go, get your coffee at Starbucks. Here, instead of trying to find out the, by the way, how many of y'all would know that government websites are just difficult to find out certain information? Have an app, report a violence, you think you see bullying taking on, you think an after-school bullying, you think there's something that's happening. I you know what, I don't know how you could be against this type of a proposal.
I think it's a good idea, and it tends to be a, at least a feeling of anonymity. I'm sure they know who the kids are because they have to register for the app, and that'll tell them who it is. But kids get the sense that they're not really snitching.
Right.
At the same time, they're just giving an anonymous
tip. And besides,
and that kind
you know,
of
if you think there's something going on, you don't have to call 911 because sometimes you think it's not as important. By the way, there is a non-emergency lines that many people do now are aware, Roger, that exist. But is this an interesting move to go down the road by saying, hey, listen, we're going to have a new app. If you think there's something going on, you know, you can't call 911, you want a text message. I don't know if it's that waste of a money, but anything, if you're not going to go down the road of at least, you know, having more resource officers or allowing teachers to, you know, adopt guns or be able to pack besides a lunch, this might be the right way to go. Or why not just combine them all? I don't know why this would be a failure.
Now, this would be a good thing, I believe. You know, bullying has always gone on. You know, I was bullied as a kid, but now bullying is so much more compounded when you have social media and the thousands of people that are involved with it these days. And kids are killing themselves because they're being, you know, picked on a little bit too severely. And I think this could be a good thing.
Interesting. Eric Sliwa, one of those Democratic presidential candidates, you know, he's the one who says that Trump's an agent of Russia, Roger. Listen to this ridiculous comparison. He says, look at the 2020 Dems. You could almost look at us like we're the Avengers. The 2016 candidates, they were more, actually it's kind of funny, they're more like the Hunger Games.
To tonight's honorees and welcome to my fellow candidates, whom I consider we are all a part of being the Avengers. The Republicans in 2016, that was the Hunger Games. We're all in this with your help and support to save this country that we love so much.
You know, you might have an interesting point. I think a lot of Democrats know they have no prayer of winning. But yet, if there's some closely tied polls out there, Roger, you know it will be end up like the Hunger Games, you know? All right. The media. Remember President Trump blames the media for the division of what's happening in this country?
You would think they'd want to make our country great again. And I honestly believe they don't. I honestly believe it. If you want to discover the source of the division in our country, look no further than the fake news and the crooked media.
The fake news and the crooked media. By the way, is there something wrong? I mean, it's a great chant. Lock her up. But then again, Nancy Pelosi says, I think Trump should go to prison. So I guess it kind of just waters it down a little bit, huh?
Yeah, it kind of balances each other out, you know. But did Nancy Pelosi think she was being quoted when the lock her up was done at a public rally?
Lock him up, whatever. But exactly. Here's an interesting question. CNN's Jim Acosta, I guess, I don't know whatever the name of his book is. I don't know if anybody's buying it. He says, first off, we're not the enemy of the people, the media. But he even criticizes other, and I don't think he's talking about Fox, because I think they would have, you know, they love throwing Fox under the bus. But he says other members of the media should have been more in unity to stand up against President Trump.
At times that the press had been a bit more in solidarity with one another and standing up to this White House and saying, listen, you know, the president can't call us the enemy of the people. We're not going to go along with that. We've missed some opportunities here and there to challenge that. It hasn't been perfect. We're all grappling with how do we cover this president. But my sense of it is that we have to stand for the truth. We're not just here to report the news. We're here also to defend the truth. And we don't want our kids to grow up in a country where it's okay to say the press is the enemy. And I know that sounds corny and it sounds like, oh, Jim's just getting on a soapbox. It's not taking us.
Wait. Don't we have kids growing up by saying that a certain person of a political ideology is the enemy?
Yeah.
I mean, we have that all the time.
On a political issue.
No,
it's taking
it's
a stand on an American issue.
It's not.
We should not be called the enemy of the people. You're not my enemy. I'm not your enemy. Trump supporters are not our enemy.
All right, so I give him credit for that by saying that the Trump supporters are not the enemy as well. The enemy of the people, you know, the journalists have said that ever since Trump got into office, that their lives are in danger. I don't know where I see that. I don't see journalists being shot up anywhere.
Well,
unless
you know,
you're in the Middle East, but that has nothing to do with Trump.
Exactly. But, you know, here at the same time, I do agree that I think the rhetoric needs to be toned down a little bit with respect to the use of violent language in describing political discourse. You know, saying, you know, you're going to, you know, various things, you know, take a shot at this person and that kind
you,
of thing.
I will tell you.
I don't like it personally.
I will tell you this. For years when I was covering, I'd go to Democrat gatherings. I'd have to go cover because I was being paid to do it by my publisher. And, oh, there's that Ed Dean. He's a front for the Republicans. No, I wasn't. But Democrats, Roger, would actually come up to me, go, Ed, you know, we don't agree with you and on your show. And this was a little while back. But he goes, let's be honest, Ed. He goes, the only time our local newspaper, whether it's Gannett or the USA Today, they say the only time they give us any publicity is when they're endorsing a candidate like once a year. Mm-hmm. He says, Ed, he goes, we may differ, but he goes, at least you give us the coverage.
Yeah.
And on that as well, when it comes to many of those issues here. So.
Well, Wolf, I think that, asked this question of the president when he was running to win the White House, can you withstand the scrutiny that comes with being president of the United States? He didn't like that question. He snapped at me during that news conference. It was May of last year. And, you know, I think that there are moments when this president is just really sensitive to criticism and he lashes out in this fashion. I mean,
when you come across and whether you believe it or not, and that's for you to decide. I don't know if there's any proof in it. But the president, does he not like Jews? Because maybe he didn't comment quick enough on a shooting that took place at a mosque. Does the president not like, I mean, really, when you ask those type of questions, how do you, I mean, listen, I would understand, as much as I may not have been a fan of Obama, I can understand if Obama didn't think he was getting a fair shake from Fox News. He wants to strike back at him. I get it. Trust me. And I understand why the president definitely wants to strike back at MSNBC and CNN when the things that have been reported that have not been accurately the truth.
Well, do you think Obama was striking back at Fox News? Because they went after him all the time.
That's what I said. I understand if he did strike back at him because he was ticked off.
But he really didn't very much, or did he?
Nah, yes and no. But, this guy really goes out of his way. But then again, you look at the coverage between all of the media combined on how they treated Obama versus on how they treated Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I've said as a journalist. If you're going to be, because I get asked this all the time, Ed, you're a news editor. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not one of those types. And so that's why I keep saying when you listen to a lot of this, I think it's just too easy to sit back and in a conference, as you say, that is those right wingers again, or a conservative will sit back and say, instead of disagreeing with the issue, it's the liberal media.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that's just too easy.
It's too easy, you're exactly right. Way too easy, and it doesn't require any thought.
I think it's just too easy to blame the media.
XYZ said it, so therefore I automatically oppose it.
As you said, it's kind of the tribe. All right. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 831-0600, 904-831-0600. Before we take some calls, I just want to take a real super, super quick break. A school app to stop or reduce violence in our local public schools. North Carolina is the second state to do it. It's actually called the, hold on, Roger, I got it right here. It's actually, I have to talk about it in a second, but it's actually called the Say Something Anonymous Reporting System. Do you believe this will help reduce school violence? And if you see somebody bullying or cyberbullying, you can report it. And then they'll decide on what the threat zone may be. What do you think about that? I'd like to hear your take on this and other issues. 831-0600, 904-831-0600, Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-10 East at 95, there's a broken down car in the right emergency lane, 295 South on the Dana's Point Bridge. Another car there has stalled in 295 South at US 17. We're looking at an accident this morning.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. One of the biggest changes we've seen in fine jewelry over the last 25 years has been the growth of jewelry designers. At Underwoods, we're the leader, bringing to North Florida the best names in designer jewelry. In fact, we carry designer lines in a similar way to how clothing stores carry designer labels. The difference is that jewelry designers have to be a little more timeless in their presentations because nobody wants to buy a fine piece of jewelry only to find out the next year it's gone out of style. That's why you'll find at Underwoods the best of the jewelry designer names, those that are tried and true and popular. Names like David Yerman, Roberto Coyne, John Hardy, Marco Bichigo, Jude Francis, Lagos, Ippolita, and a lot more are all available right now at Underwoods. So if you want the best looks in designer jewelry, stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
This is the Savage Nation.
Talking about Avenatti, I've never seen a lawyer get away with this. As Cohen is being sentenced, this dirty rat gives a press conference saying Trump is next. The legal profession was never developed for people like Avenatti, in my estimation. You think Jerry Nadler is any different than Cohen? They're all cut from the same pickle. You ought to thank God they didn't become judges. In Nadler's case, he went higher than a judge. He became a congressman. Can you imagine that?
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
We're looking at lots of rain and thunderstorms today, a high of 88. This evening will be cloudy early, then clearing late, 1 in 5 chance of rain tonight, 74. The low right now at 73 at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new poll finds 56% of registered voters see Roe v. Wade as settled law and do not want the court to review the issue. An economic report show lawsuits coming at the expense of Floridians. And a new app is being introduced as a way to help reduce violence in schools.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Hey, before I get to the quick call, just a real quick story we talked about this morning. Democrats, House Democrats, are proposing a pay increase, 8 times the minimum wage, about a $4,500 pay increase for members of Congress. Currently, it's at $174,000 a year. They say, well, there's enough bipartisan support for this. Roger says, Roger supports the pay increase. I don't. Roger says that $174,000 is not enough. If they want to have a house in D.C. or an apartment, maybe they should share an apartment and otherwise live at home or whatever and have another house with kids. Roger says they should not be sleeping in their office. He doesn't think that they're overpaid. Did I miss anything else?
That's pretty much it. You know, when I look at congressional pay, I automatically divide it by two because they do have to maintain two households. They don't just live here.
They get expenses for a lot of that too, Roger.
Do they get housing expenses?
They get a lot of the housing expense, you know, and office expense, which would cover some of that as well.
I do know they have an office expense, but what I'd like to see alternately, then, you know, if the pay increase is not on the table, then maybe Congress should set up a building like a hotel or an apartment complex where congressmen who choose to can live there for free.
That'll be a political Studio 54 going on with those guys. Yeah. 831-0600, 904-831-0600. Roger says $174,000 a year. They haven't been paid in 10 years, a pay increase. Mm-hmm. Do they deserve a pay increase, or should we modify it? It's only a 2.5% pay increase. Is it really that much? Should we pay them more money for what they do? Roger says yes, they're not being paid enough. What do you think? I say no. Maybe I'm the stingy one today.
Maybe you are.
831-0600. Why not give them a pay increase?
You like my idea of congressional condos, though. Maybe have a couple of condos where congressmen who don't, you know, own a home, they could live there at no expense. Everything's covered for housing. Then that would justify them not getting a
pay raise. I want more government housing. 904-831.
The president gets a house. VP.
Let's go to Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, Ed. How you doing
today?
Hey,
thanks for calling in, man. How's your weekend?
Oh, it was fantastic. Okay. You know, why? Okay, so they've got a new app to report, violence and cyberbullying in school. Why are phones even allowed in school? I thought we were there to learn.
Well, this also is, according to the proponents, this is also for anybody that may not be a student, and also they can report this off school campus as well.
Right, but we all know, Ed, that, you know, I mean, I heard you guys talking about, you know, people harming themselves because of social media bullying. Well, why, if somebody's going to harm themselves over social media bullying, what, you know, shouldn't the parents just tell them that, you know, maybe you should stay off social media?
Or pull them out of the school and put them in a private school. But again, that's very expensive, you know, outside of school choice, which a lot of parents are really supportive of right now.
Right. Well, of course, our last president put the nicks on that in certain areas. But, you know, if kids are so fragile, you know, I mean, look, kids are supposed to be learning. I drive by a school every day and I see, you know, sixth graders walking along with smartphones in their face. And I don't think smartphones make anybody smart. You know, the phones may be smart, but I think that they turn people into idiots.
Well, let me ask a question. So let's say that this is also big time, or as they say, this will help out those when it comes to timeliness after school, that if they see certain things happen, instead of calling 911. By the way, there are a lot of things that are non-emergency. They hear a couple kids may say this or say that. They want to call the school app. I don't know if I really have a problem with that. I just don't know of how much it's going to cost. How do you man it? Like, who sits back and decides which one's a level threat one, level threat two? And I don't have a problem. I mean, I think Joe, politically, or at least logistically, as far as the overview of press and PR, I think it's a interesting way of going down this road. I just don't know how they're going to formulate it to somehow be cost effective.
Well, Ed, it all boils down to, you know, you got to come back to parenting, you know. And I mean, if your kid's a bully, then your kid probably needs a good whooping, as they say.
Mm.
And if your kid is being bullied, you know, especially, you know, on social media, well, then your kid probably needs to stay off the social media.
What if the parents don't know? And this could be a tool to help inform them.
But they should know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think, I don't think they can. I mean, if you got a bunch of kids and maybe, hey, I had a rough time at school, they may have heard something that they need to be a little bit more informative. They're not being a narc. And there's an app out there that can somehow maybe deal with the situation. Or they hear something like a Nicholas Cruz. Instead of calling 911, they call a school app whatsoever. I don't have a problem with that. I think it's just, I just don't think there's a direct silver bullet that sits back and says, oh, by the way, if we had better parents, I mean, we do have single member parents out there and somehow can't know what their kid's doing all the time. So I don't have a problem with the app for the most part.
Well, you know, I remember when they used to say, oh, well, you know, my kid needs a phone in case they get a hold of me. Well, if they need a phone, buy them a flip phone.
Yeah.
With no social media on it.
Yeah, well, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, listen, I don't have any kids. But if I had twin girls, you know what, Roger? I'd be getting them phones. I'd be paying for everything. Beepers, phones.
Exactly.
Video, FaceTime. If you're not home at a certain time, I want to know where you're at.
Here's the deal, Ed. You know, a lot of kids see it as the cool thing, and the parents who, you know, older generation don't really get it. Parents, younger parents, they understand this phone is like a tether. You can find your kid. I've got apps
I'm putting
in my
a tracker
phone.
On that phone. I want to know where you are at.
I know where my 20-something-year-old daughters are at all times because of the apps on the phone.
If you're telling me you're going to Sunday school, I want to make sure you're at Sunday school, not at Starbucks.
Exactly.
There is no prayer service over there. I don't care if you did pray before you had a cup of coffee.
And you
right?
don't have to call and ask. The app will tell you where they are with the map.
Let's go to Jacob. Hey, Jacob, good morning. What's going on?
Hey, Ed. Dean, it's good to talk with you.
Hey.
I want to talk about the migrant situation. Coming across the border, reading a lot of reports about that online, especially with the current outbreak of Ebola in Africa. We got a lot of Congolesians coming across in Texas, and trying to track them all is a big job, and I run the EbolaOutbreakMap.com website trying to track any monitoring locations or locations where they're coming across. We got these migrants. They're not being screened a lot of times, and a lot of times they are being monitored with news I can get. So I want to just talk with your listeners for a few seconds about this problem we got.
Well, how big is the Ebola breakout coming from illegal? I mean, listen, I agree with you. I think we need to find out what do they have. Do they have TB? Do they have certain other communicable diseases out there? But how big is the Ebola problem coming from south of the border?
Yeah, well, our reports I'm reading here online is they're coming across the border from South America, from the Congolesians. And
how many Congolese are coming in through the Mexican border?
Yeah, they're by the hundreds. I got a report here about 300 of them right now in San Antonio, and this is out of local news in San Antonio. They're building another migrant shelter for them in San Antonio. So it's all on my site. I'm site to work. It's on my site. It's really easy.
All right, what's the website again?
Ebola Outbreak Map, MAPmap.com.
All right. I got to run. I just didn't hear about the Ebola. I mean, if there was a big Ebola breakout, I mean, you at least think this would make some of the news.
So you're suggesting that they're flying to Mexico first and then crossing the Mexican border.
Yeah, I don't know how many of those in Africa are coming over. Yeah. Then again, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. So, all right, 831-0600, 831-0600, Talk Radio WBOB.
And if you're at I-295 going south on the Nace Point Bridge looking at a broken-down car, 295 south of US 17, there has been an accident.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, these three words bring feelings of fear and anxiety. Contact J. David Tax Law, recently voted best tax attorney in Jacksonville by Folio Weekly Readers and selected as a 2019 Ultimate Tax Attorney by the Jacksonville Business Journal. When you owe the IRS or Florida sales tax and can't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. Don't wait. Call J. David Tax Law for your no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your tax problems step by step, explain your options, and how we will resolve your tax issues once and for all. See why J. David Tax Law was voted best tax attorney in Jax. Call now for a no-cost consultation. 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I grew up in a household that struggled with addiction. By the age of 12, I was using drugs. From there on, my issues grew and grew. I had lost my apartment, my job, and my son. I was in a bad place, but luckily my aunt and her friend brought me to the City Rescue Mission. I've been in the Life Builders Recovery Program for 7 months now, and the way I look at life is completely different. I didn't know the meaning of even being a Christian until I got here. If it weren't for CRM, I wouldn't be getting my 3-year-old son back in a few months once I have graduated the Life Builders Program. I am just so thankful and blessed and excited for what the future holds.
I'm Penny Kivett, Executive Director for the City Rescue Mission. The summer months here in Jacksonville are especially brutal for our homeless neighbors and friends struggling on the streets. Would you consider helping us transform lives? Visit us at crmjax.org to learn more or make a donation to help others who are hungry, homeless, and addicted.
Lots of rain and thunderstorms today. A high of 88. This evening will be cloudy. A 1 in 5 chance of rain tonight with a low of 74. Currently 73 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
It is a free app for your smartphones. Download it. Listen to the show anywhere you would like. Thousands of you do it every morning. Listen to the show on the phones. Just go to WBOB.com. WBOB.com.